Well, we're going to continue in the series that we started that we've titled Membership Has Its Privileges. And we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about the membership vows that we all take in the church. When we say that we will support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And today we're going to talk about supporting with our gifts. And the scripture lesson today comes from Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to read verse 33 through verse 35 of Acts chapter 20. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember always the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in the community of faith today. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved in our gathering thus far. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. And Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, God, open our hearts that what it is that you have to say to us today, we might receive. And having received it, Lord, that it might be more for us than just information, but indeed that we might find your words transforming, that they might transform our lives together as a community of faith. And being transformed, we may then go back out into your world to share the good news of Christ's love with all. We ask this not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, we offer up this prayer in His name, saying, Amen. You know, typically when we think about gifts, we do sometimes, I think about what we are giving, but too often we do think about what we are receiving. It was interesting several months ago when I had my 50th birthday and all of you got together and decided that you were going to give me 50 of different things. And so I have 50 safety pins and 50 these little things that you clean your teeth with and 50 nails. And I have 100 pennies because two people gave me 50 pennies each. So it's interesting sometimes when you think about, well, you know, what am I going to receive as a gift? But as we think about the church, as we think about membership having its privileges, as we think about what it is that we are privileged to do as church members, there's probably nothing more of a privilege for all of us than the opportunity that we have to give. Indeed, in the passage that I read to you this morning, it's one of the only places in the New Testament where we find words of Jesus that weren't recorded in the Gospels. You know, most of the words of Jesus were recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four Gospels. But right in the middle of Acts, right in Acts here, we have Paul saying, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So just thinking about that verse makes it really easy to say, well, giving must really be a privilege if we are more blessed to give than to receive. But we live in a society where most of all, it's about what we get, and we wonder about what we're going to get. Sometimes that's what we're going to get in terms of presents or gifts or what's coming into us. Sometimes we're worried about what we're going to get when it comes into terms of the salary or the money that comes into our lives. But it's interesting that these words of Jesus stick out to us saying, reminding us, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And this is hard for us to understand sometimes because we have this misguided idea, I think, that everything that comes into our lives is ours. It's mine. You know, one of the first words that toddlers learn after no is mine, mine. I'll never forget when Hannah was about 3, we were having her birthday party. And in this birthday party, she got a bike, but one of her other gifts that she got were some roller skates. Well, her cousin, who was a year older than her, she was probably about 4, as soon as Hannah would get on the bike, her little cousin would run over and start to put on the skates. Well, Hannah would get started and get ready to ride her bike. I mean, she's just about ready to ride her bike, and then she realizes that her cousin has her skates on. So immediately she jumps off the bike and she goes, "Oh, no, 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 I want to skate." So the skates would come off. She'd put the skates on, and Hannah would start to skate, but immediately the cousin would go over and get on the bicycle. I have this on tape. I'm so thankful for video cameras. I have a feeling someday this is going to come in handy when we need some explanation, right? But you know, it's the way we all are. I mean, it's human behavior that we all believe that what we own, what is ours, and it's for us to decide what it is that we do with it. You know, the Bible consistently challenges that notion by reminding us that everything comes from God. Indeed, there's a psalm that says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." All that is in it. And everything belongs to God. And sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves that we're not really owners. We don't really own anything. It's fascinating to me that when I became a homeowner, people say you're a homeowner. And I'm like, no, Ever Home Bank is the homeowner, at least for the next 26 or 25 more years. I'm not really the homeowner. But there's this idea that we are the owners, that what we have belongs to us. And the Bible really wants us to understand, and I think one of the things that Jesus was really quick to teach was that we are not owners, but we are instead stewards of what we have. We are stewards. The word steward is an old word. It comes from the word stigward. Stig was the old word for a pig sty. And the stigward, the steward, was a person who was in charge of the livestock. Okay? The livestock didn't belong to the steward. The steward was responsible for making sure that the livestock was taken care of, that the livestock was taken care of in such a way that it helped the estate, the manor, the farm, whatever it was that the person was the steward of. And so I think one of the helpful ways for us to think about when we think about what it is that we are supposed to be doing regarding our own gifts when it comes to the church, we have to remind ourselves that we are stewards of what God has given to us. We are intermediaries. And despite the fact that your bank account and mine has our name on it, and we are the people who go in and make deposits and withdrawals. Each and everything that comes into our life comes from God, and we are the stewards. And someday, we're going to have to give an accounting to God for what God gave to us, for what God let us use while we were here. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like for that time for God to be able to say to me, "Hey, you did very well with what I gave you." Now, there are going to be some questions, I think, from the Lord at that time, for me specifically, as to, this whole vehicle thing that I've got going on about, you know, I had to have certain vehicles that do certain things every so often. And even now, I'm struggling. I think as soon as I turn 50, the car lot's turned on this music, because every time I go by, it's like a siren song. It's trying to pull me in somehow, right? But I hope that on that day is recognized I want to be recognized for the fact that I did understand that each and everything that God gave me was God's first. Whatever it was. Whether it was the money that God put into my life, the talents that God gave me that helped me to earn that money, whether it was the children that were put into my life that I was to help raise, or whether it was the congregations that I have served in the time that I have been in ministry. The fact that I am the steward and to be good stewards of what God has given to me. And what that means is I have to understand what it means to be a steward, to be a giver, is that not everything is mine. Not everything that comes is mine, but it belongs to God. And sometimes I have to ask God what God wants me to do with these gifts, whether they're gifts of money, gifts of time, gifts of things that I can do that maybe other people can't do, or some things that I do well. What does God want me to do with those gifts? And the one thing I think that we see over and over again in Scripture, and we can be very, very sure of, is God is not interested in us hanging on to our gifts. God did not give them to us for us to bury them. Whether we bury our own gifts deep inside of us, or whether we bury our money in a bank account, okay? God did not give us these gifts. God does not send these things to us so that we can just sit on them. And indeed, one of the things that I know is that the more you try to hang on to your gifts, the more that you are going to find that they will slip through your fingers. And there is this thing that I want to show you that I learned several years back about how money works. You see, when our hands are open like this, then money can come in. It can come in. And of course, money can also go out. Okay? When our hands are open. Now, when money comes into our hands and we decide that we're going to grab onto it and we're going to hang on to it and it's not going to go anywhere, well, one thing we're going to learn is that the money, oh yeah, it's not going to go anywhere. But what are the possibilities of more money coming into my hand when my hand is like this? There is no possibility, is there? I can't. I've gotten everything that I have, and I can't get any more because I won't let go of what I have. And you see, I think this is a basic truth about our lives, that when we learn that we are to give, and when we learn that giving is more blessed than receiving, then we're willing to give. And as we give, we don't end up with an empty hand. What we end up with is that there are more gifts that come along. There are more gifts that come along. And the only way that more gifts can come along to us are on those times that we give, that we're willing to let go. You know, there's a reason in our culture that we have this saying about people. Sometimes we say, well, they're tight-fisted. That's where it comes from. They're tight. They're tight. And what we find is that when we give, two things happen. First of all, we realize that I don't have to have every piece of money, every gift, everything that comes into my life is not needed for me to survive. Are you with me? I can live on a lot less. Sometimes when we think about the money that comes into our lives, we say, well, I can't wait till I get, you know, to such and so, or if I can get some more money because I'd be able to do this, I'd be able to do that. Have you ever had that experience where you wanted that? And I've had it so many times it's not even funny. If only I could get this thing. As soon as I get this thing, my life has changed. And I want to tell you, every time I get that thing, my life has changed because my bank account goes down, the amount of stuff in my life goes up, but my happiness hardly ever does the same. Are you with me? I mean, it just doesn't. And it's about whether or not we are willing to give, and whether or not we're being willing, or whether or not we're willing to be givers. Because God, the scripture says, loves a cheerful giver. And I think there's one thing we need to understand about giving is that, and this comes from 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this, we shouldn't give out of compulsion. What God loves it is when we give because we feel it in our heart. When we realize that it is really more blessed to give than to receive. When we give out of obligation just because somebody's beating us up, just because somebody's making us feel guilty, or just because, you know, we think this is what we ought to do, we're missing the spiritual blessing that comes with releasing what God has given you to others to know that it is going to do some good. That's a great paradox of giving, I think. The great paradox is that the more we receive and the more we give, the more blessed we are. And it really becomes a great spiritual exercise for us. Because we begin to realize that it's not just all about me. It's not just all about us. But particularly when we give, and when we give to the church, and we give as the church, we can do many, many good things. And our church does many, many, many good things in this community and around the world because we understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's really a truth. It's a truth that we all understand. So maybe as we think about today, particularly today being Mother's Day, I don't know about you, but my mother was one who taught me what giving was. She taught me what it was to do without herself so that she could give and make other people happy. And my mother's done some awesome and strange things in her life. I'll never forget. About 15 years ago, she called me one day and she said, "I need you to come over and help me move some stuff in my car." I said, "Okay." So I go over and she's got this big pile of toys. And in this big pile of toys, they are not toys that, you know, my nieces, my own children, were way too old for these toys. Because at first I thought, oh my gosh, she slipped a gear and this is what she's giving the kids for Christmas. And it's like, they're past that, Mom. But she said, "I need you help you load all this in the car for me." I said, "Mom, where are you taking this stuff?" "Well, I read in the paper that there was a nonprofit that was really in need of some toys for people who weren't going to have any this Christmas." And she said, "And I started to think about how blessed we'd been and how much we have and how much you all have, you know, been given through us and what we give the grandchildren." And she said, "I just thought we ought to do something else this time. And I wanted to do a little more." And I was amazed. I was amazed. Because I thought she just responded to the call on her heart. And I think it was a call from God to do something for somebody else. And she understood that it is more blessed to give than to receive, because I don't think there was anything that she received that particular Christmas that meant as much to her as the ability to go and help other people. So perhaps we can think this way in our own lives. Perhaps we can understand what giving really is and why it's so important. And why it's so important for us to share our gifts with the church, our monetary gifts. You know, I got to tell you, y'all, the church would not exist without your giving. I would not be standing in front of you. The rest of the staff would not be here. The electricity wouldn't be here. The nice building wouldn't be here. The programs that we have, the good things that we are able to do in this community would vanish just like that if you stopped giving. They would go. And what I hope is that we are doing a good enough job as a staff and in taking care of what we have and in reaching out to the community and giving that away, that you feel as good as I do when you put your money in our offering plate. Because I'm going to tell you, we are doing good works. We are doing good things, but it requires us, it requires all of us to understand that the membership vows that we take, that we will share our gifts with the church, is what you put in that offering plate. And it is what we as a church use to make a difference for Jesus Christ in this community. You know, one of the prayers that I pray every week over our offering is that it will be used for the building up of God's kingdom, for the spread of the gospel, that's to reach out in Jesus' name, and for relief of the poor. That those things will be part of who we are as we give to the church. And one of the things that I get out of our story, particularly this time of year, as we've gone through Holy Week and Easter, is that we follow a Savior who was willing to give everything He had. He left nothing behind. He gave everything He had away. Everything. And because Jesus was willing to give everything He had away, it inspired a group of people 2,000 years ago to go, you know, we want to follow Jesus, and we want to be like Jesus, and we want to be people who are like Jesus, people who understand what it is to give it all away. Because what Jesus knew, I think, and what we try to learn is that it all doesn't belong to us anyway. Ultimately, it belongs to God. And we are stewards, we are caretakers. So maybe we ask ourselves the question, how am I doing in the caretaking that I am doing with the gifts that God is giving to me, whatever those gifts are? You know, I am thankful not only for the monetary gifts that come into this church, but I'm thankful for people who have specific gifts in leadership, specific gifts in teaching, specific gifts in caring, who come in and are able to help others in a way that by myself, Mary Noble and I as clergy, or even the staff, wouldn't be able to do. And it's because of the sharing of those gifts. It's because of the opportunity that we have, the privilege that we have to give. So my prayer today is that you and I will begin to understand what it means to be privileged to give. And that these words of Jesus that have come to us through the book of Acts over so many years, that weren't, somehow they didn't get recorded in the Gospels, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I hope you'll put those to the test. You know, I really think that God says what God means, and God leads us to places so that we can test it, so that we can see. And I hope that you will become, if you're not already, a person that realizes that whatever we give, we can never give too much. We can never give too much. And we'll understand that the more we give, the more we receive. Now, sometimes people say, well, that means that, boy, I'm going to put $1,000 in the offering plate because God's going to give me 10 back. Well, there's been people who've already tried that. It doesn't work. That's not what we're talking about. But what I'm talking about is that as you see giving to God as a privilege, as you give your gifts, your monetary gifts, your spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given to you to use while you're here, as you give those back to God, you will really find that the more you give them, the more you receive. And the more you receive, the more you'll want to give. And the more you give, you'll receive. And it just keeps going and going and going. And that's what Jesus was talking about. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So may we be people who understand that the gifts that God has given to us, that we hold them in trust, that they are really God's. And someday God is going to ask us to account for what we have done with His gifts, what we've done with what He gave us. And may we understand that you can hang on to what you have, and you won't be able to receive any more, but you'll certainly have what you have. But when we reach out with an open hand, when we are willing to give, we will find that Jesus' words are true. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the blessings that we receive when we understand this are blessings that the world can't count, the world can't understand, the world will not be able to make an accounting of, but they are gifts that are special, gifts for us that will make us understand that our God is a giving God and that Jesus gave away everything he had and that it is indeed a privilege, a great privilege to give and to be a giver. So may we be people who know that what it's about is giving, and that the more we give, truly, the more that we will receive, and the gifts that we receive will be gifts of things that we can never, ever, ever, ever duplicate, and they'll be gifts better than anything else that we've ever received in the real world. When we take those gifts from God and we share those. And may we be always people who share them, not because we have to, not because the Bible says to, not because that's what we do, but may we be cheerful and compassionate when we give, and may we give because we love. The reason that Jesus gave everything he had was because of his great love for all of us. And may we follow his example and give with that same love. Amen? Amen.